All right, let's get rolling again. We'll go till noon. You'll have your normal hour and a half break. So, how are the shorebirds okay? Not too bad? Yeah, just practice. John has a lot of good examples on his slide presentation, and there are some other links down there underneath of lab resources to other shorebird, well, to shorebird sites. So look at a lot of different pictures. Y'all did get some exposure with Billy, right? Over very little. Okay. 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 So, all right. Well, good. I'm happy we're not being too redundant. All right. So practice those. Now, most of y'all have been exposed to waterfowl just as either through hunting or being interested in natural resources. And of course, I got exposed a little bit to waterfowl ID on the Billy. So I think we have something like 23 species or so we're going to go through. These are not all the species in North America. If you take advanced wetlands, you learn all of the species, as well as the wings for most of the common species. I'll just show you some wing characteristics as we're going through this lecture, but you will not need to know wing identification. That's a very important skill, though, as a biologist, is to be able to identify wings. You may be a part of wing bees. Hunters can send in wings to certain parts of the country, and it's a way that they assess harvest rates, etc. And if you're part of that, you need to be able to identify them by wings. The other thing is that depending on the state of molt that males are in, they can look very similar to females, but the wings are always going to be very diagnostically different. Okay, back before I started studying amphibians, I studied waterfowl, and so actually I made this presentation a long time ago when I was in Texas. We're going to go through this and talk about identifying waterfowl. We are in the order Anseriformes. Okay, how many orders do we have of anurans? Four? Well, how many orders of anurans in Tennessee, excuse me? Okay, my bad. I'm throwing you all off, aren't we? How many orders of anurans do we have? One, anura. how many families do we have? We have five families. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we have one family of waterfowl, the Anatidae. All right. But we have, and then we are in the family, subfamily Anserinae. Okay. So we've gone from order. I want you to remember these. Okay. This is the only taxonomic stuff you have to remember. Okay. I want you to know the order Anseriformes, the family Anatidae, and the subfamily Anserinae, as well as three tribes in North America. There are three tribes in North America. They are the Dendrocygnini, the whistling or tree ducks, the Cygnini, the swans, and the Anserinae, which are the true geese. Okay? So three tribes. And you'll need to know some species underneath of each of these tribes. Sure. The species that we're going to talk about are pretty much the ones that we could encounter or you could encounter in Tennessee, especially in West Tennessee. All right. So, do you have to know the whistling, any of the whistling ducks? You may not. Okay, right, they don't. Okay, so I guess you don't need to know the Dendrocygnini. Okay? So, swans. Geese. We don't know any of the swans either? I guess I just did geese and ducks. Okay. All right. So there you go. You just have to know the tribe and Serenity, which are the true geese. Okay. We'll talk about the tribes that are underneath us. So this subfamily here in Serenity basically are the tree ducks, the swans, and the true geese. We'll talk about the subfamily that includes the ducks just know the tribe for the true geese. Okay? All right? So know the subfamily and Serenae and then Anserini for the tribe. Okay. So the white-fronted goose, Anser albifrons. All right. This is a medium-sized, long-necked goose. Again, you need to know how to identify these things from a photo, the characteristics. I'll point out the ones that I think are most diagnostic. They're mostly a brown goose, as opposed to some of the other geese that we'll talk about. One of the very diagnostic characteristics, which you can actually see right here, as well as very clearly right there, is that they have a white patch at the base of an orange to pinkish colored bill. Okay? That white patch right in front of the bill is diagnostic for this particular species. Look for that. Okay? And then you're looking at a brown bird. The other characteristic, which you can't see really, really well, but it's right there, is that the belly has a regular black flecking that's on the belly. So these, the hunters call white-fronted geese, they call them speckled bellies. And again, they have black, if this is the belly, they have black striping, basically, flecking on the belly. Okay, and that is a unique diagnostic characteristic. White-fronted goose. All right, so make sure you know that full name, white-fronted goose. Any questions? Oh yeah, there's the flecking. And they do have pretty large orange feet, which the other geese have black feet. Good. All right. The snow goose, Chen cerulescens, is a medium-sized goose, a little bit smaller than the white-fronted goose. They have a pink bill with a black patch along the mandibles. That's right there. Very pink bill and black lining along the mandibles. Okay? So when you have that in hand, that's a very clear characteristic. Okay. Obviously, these look very different, and that's because they're the same species, but there are two different phenotypic morphs. One is the blue morph, one is the white morph. Blue morph is on the left, and they're also, sometimes hunters call them blue geese and white geese. They're both snow geese, okay? You tend to get more of the blue morph. These really kind of through the MAV, but especially and historically down on the coast of Louisiana. And as you're going along the coast of Louisiana, thinking from New Orleans going towards the coast of Texas, generally the blue morphs had more of a westerly distribution compared to the head is always white. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. In fact, it has, if it was turned around, has kind of that black kind of comes up the back of its neck, though. All right, white throat for the blue morph. Of course, it's all white for the white morph. And very key diagnostic characteristic is white edge scapulars. Those are the shoulder feathers, okay, back here. But they're really, really long on these geese, and they're white-edged, okay? White-edged scapulars. The white morph has, of course, entirely a white plumage, and they have black primaries, which you can see right there. But when they're flying overhead, so the primaries are the flight feathers, okay? They're the long feathers here, all right? And they're all black. And they fly over, you see a white goose with black primaries, so black flight feathers, that's a snow goose. Okay? Any questions on these guys? All right. Bronta canadensis, Canada goose, not Canadian goose. I don't want to hear anybody say Canadian goose in here. Canada goose, Bronta canadensis. Everybody has seen Canada geese, I'm sure, at one time. Very diagnostic looking goose. This is a small to a very large goose. For most part, what you've seen in Texas are, or Texas, Tennessee, are large races. They can range in size from 4 pounds, which is a little bit larger than the size of a mallard, which are around 3 pounds in size, up to 13 pounds. There are 11 races of Bronta canadensis in North America. Okay? Bronta canadensis maxima is the largest, that's the giant Canada goose, and that is the one that's been basically released in Tennessee. Historically, bred up in the Midwest of the United States, and of course we've released them here for hunting. Bronta canadensis minima is the cackling goose. This is the one that's about a little bit larger than the size of a mallard. But they all look the same. Okay, very similar.
Are we going to have them in different races?
Nope. No. Okay, just know that's Bronta canadensis. Okay, you know, very diagnostic, black head, black bill, black neck, and that white cheek patch that extends down into the throat area. Okay, white cheek patch that extends down into the throat area. Brown back, upper wings, and flank, so brown bird, and oops, that's it. Okay? Any questions? Good? All right. The subfamily Anatinae are the ducks. And I think there are 5 tribes. Carinae, which are the perching ducks, which includes our wood duck. Anatinae, which are the dabbling ducks. Athyinae, which are the diving ducks. Then we have Merginae, which are the sea ducks, includes our mergansers. Anybody know what that duck is? What's that? Dinner, yeah. We actually have that species in North America. That's the king eider. It's not on your list. We don't get them in Tennessee. Yeah, all except for one species that we'll talk about. But one of the characteristics of dabbling ducks is that they generally take off straight up. They can take off straight up and elevate themselves very quickly. They have very broad wings and they can create lift very quickly. The dabbling ducks have longer wings that have less lift, and they generally take off running across the water. The diving ducks have narrow wings and take off running across the water. For all the species except for the ringneck duck, which when we hit that, I'll mention that again. They actually can jump up like a dabbling duck. And they actually use similar habitats of dabbling ducks. Okay? Oxyuriini, the tribe Oxyuriini, are the stiff-tailed ducks, includes our ruddy duck. So, everybody knows our wood duck. What's that?
Mallard.
What's that? Camelback. Okay. All right. Good. So, now we'll go through the duck species. For 340, WFS 340, you only need to know how to identify the males. So that really makes it a lot easier, okay? However, I will have some bonus slides, and there will be a female for the bonus slides, or they will be females. So I'll go through the drakes and the hens, because even though I'm not going to test you on the hens, these are characteristics that you should know as biologists. All right, so the wood duck, pretty distinct-looking bird. The males here, the drakes, have a red bill and a red eye with a green head, although that green isn't coming up very clearly on the slide. As opposed to the hen over here that has a gray bill and basically a brown body and a grayish-brownish head. The drakes also have a white throat, and they have a white finger that comes up from the throat up towards the eye. And even though, you can see it a little bit right here, the hens also have a white throat, but they don't have that finger that comes up. Hens also have a white teardrop around the eye, okay? And their wings, they're secondaries. The secondary is also called the speculum. Those are the iridescent feathers of the wing right here. All right. For the hens, they have a white teardrop shape on the edge, the most distal edge of the secondaries. The drakes, it's a line. It is white, but it's not in a teardrop shape. It's just a line that comes across at the distal edge. Okay? Males, again, chestnut, brown breast, golden flanks, and that's it. Okay? Any questions? Ike Sponsa is the scientific name. Mallard, Anis platyrhynchus. Well, most folks know what a mallard looks like. Drake's nice green head here, and a white ring around the throat, around the neck region. The hens, on the other hand, are a brown mottled color, and this bird is just finishing molting. It's still looking a little rough, but when the drakes are molting, they lose most of their color, and they can look very similar to a hen. One thing that always, and this is true for many of the dabbling ducks that at least have orange and yellow bills instead of black. There are a few that have black, but the drakes have a yellowish bill, and the hens have an orange bill, usually with some type of mottling, black mottling on it. Okay? So you can see the orangish bill with the black mottling.
Do all hens have a blue?
Okay, that's the speculum. All right, that blue is the same color here. It just happens to be the light. Okay. One other characteristic, though, since you pointed out the wing here, it's shown very well, is that if you are just looking at a wing, again, depending on, this is a nice adult female, so up here in the covert area, you know, these are really nice down-like brown-edged feathers, but even more clearly, the greater coverts, which are right here over the secondaries, that white line, notice how it extends over the tertials. And these are the tertial feathers right here, okay? With the drake, notice how it comes from here and it stops at the tertials. That's true, okay? And that's a good way, even when you're looking at juvenile males, to tell if you're just looking at a juvenile male wing and a hen wing, they can look very similar. The white extends across the tertials with the hens, okay? They have a dark cap here and a white line through the eye, line through the eye as well. And again, mallards, chestnut breast, gray belly, and again, we already talked about the mottled brown plumage of the hen. Right? Any questions? Okay. There's the edging I was talking about on the greater coverts. Okay. A duck that looks fairly similar to the mallard, at least the hen mallard, is the American black duck, not just the black duck, the American black duck, Anis rubripes. The American black duck is very dark in color, okay? There you don't see any edging at all on the feathers like you would with a hen mallard. Also, the speculum itself, okay, the secondaries here, with a mallard, it is a bluish color. With a American black duck, it is a dark purplish color. These species do hybridize, and then when that happens, you start to see mallard characteristics within the black ducks. You'll start to get some white on the edging. See here, you have the speculum that is bordered with white, okay, at the edge of the secondaries and the greater coverts. You do not see that with a black duck. Although, when they start to hybridize, if you shoot a black duck and you see some white in there, it's mated with a mallard, okay? And that's happening more and more. Historically, mallards and black ducks on the breeding grounds very rarely interacted at all. These are a species of the boreal forest. They nest in the boreal forest of eastern Canada. And mallards are a prairie nesting duck. However, with basically the removal of that of the forest, the mallards have, as far as breeding, have moved to the east and now breed in the same areas as black ducks, and there's a lot more hybridization that goes on. Black ducks will nest in pretty much any type of wetland, but they're also known to nest on tree stumps and on fallen logs, and hence they are often considered a forested type duck. All right, well, what's the difference between the males and the females? What do you see? Yeah, that's the color, that purple, it's again, it's a lighting issue here. It is the same color, but yeah, everything is the same that you see going down here. Again, the not being bordered by white is a characteristic of telling the difference when you're looking at the wings between that and a hen mallard. But again, we're looking at the bills here. The bills of the males are green, and of the hens are orangish with black mottling, just like the mallards. And so that's an orangish bill. Well, it does say Greenville here with a black saddle, although, yeah. Orangish to greenish with a black saddle. That's that modeling I was talking about. Okay. This is very subjective. Males having more red legs and hens having more orange legs. And I would say that that would be more of a characteristic that you would see during the breeding season and is influenced by hormones. So that's not a good characteristic. The bill color is, though. Okay, you will not see any modeling at all on the Drake black duck. A nice olive color. Okay? Good. Okay, next species. All right. The American green-winged teal. Okay, make sure you have your hyphens in there, your EDs, everything. American green-winged teal, Anas crica caroliniensis. Okay, this is a small duck. A very small duck, and it's actually considered the fastest duck in North America. It and actually the canvasback. But this is a very small duck. If you've ever hunted, green-winged teal have come in. They are very fast. Okay, very small-bodied duck here. Okay, we're talking about a duck this big. They have a green speculum, that green secondary is there. And between the hen and the drake, drake, nice rust-colored head with a green teardrop that comes starts at the eye and goes to the back of the head. Right there. On the other hand, the hen over here has just basically a brown head and light brown body. Solid black bill for the drake and a grayish bill for the hen. Oops, sorry. Questions? Right. The blue-winged teal. Blue-winged teal, Anas discourse. Okay. Another small-bodied duck, about the size or a little bit smaller than the green-winged teal. They have a green speculum similar to the American green-winged teal, except that they have blue in their lesser and middle coverts. Okay? So you can see that blue, hence the name blue-winged teal. So right up here, when they're flying, you can see blue. Okay? Between the drake and the hen, we have a blue iridescent head. Nice blue iridescent head on the male. Brown, light brown head for the female. And also that nice white crescent line right at the base of the bill is diagnostic. Okay? And again, brown female. And then buff breast and flanks with spots, so it kind of looks, has some type of spotted type coloring that you can see here. Right, and here we're just mottled in brown. Pretty much the reoccurring theme with drakes and hen ducks, with the hen having mottled color, and obviously the for tip coloration. Good? All right. The gadwall. Anas strepera, gadwall. All right, This is average-sized duck, about the size of a mallard, maybe a little bit smaller. One nice characteristic here is this very steep forehead. There's no sloping to it. It comes straight up. Okay. This is the only dabbling duck with a white speculum, white secondaries, which you can see right here. And they have a black rump. Let's see if I can find it. It is right there. So we're looking at gadwall with, talking about the iridescent. Most of the dabbling ducks have an iridescent speculum. This is the only one that has a white speculum right there. Okay, and the drakes will also have some copper colored up into the lesser coverts. Okay, I'll pass that around. Also pass around the blue-winged teal and the green-winged teal. These are drakes. Okay. What else? Differences between the drake and the hen. Nice black bill. Okay, we have an orange bill over here. Very apparent. That's right. You don't have much of a contrast there at all. And I guess you mean this tone here, darker on top. And in breeding plumage, usually you see that, but yeah, not when they're molting. Mm-hmm. Other questions? So. She has a grayish bill with basically orange edges. See the orange coming around there. Okay, good. All right. The American widgeon. And make note that there's no D in widgeon. You see it a lot of times misspelled in field guides. It's widgeon without a D. Anis americana. All right, one characteristic of both the male and the female is that they have a blue bill with a tipped in black, okay? Tipped in black, right there. White secondary coverts, what I'm referring to there. Is this white patch that we're looking at? See the white patch? I'm going to give you a feel for that's an adult male, that's a juvenile male. See the difference in the white? It's trying to get white, but it's too young, all right? So it's trying to get there. In advanced wetlands, you have to actually identify them down to age class. No, the northern pintail and the ruddy duck. That's right. Mm-hmm. But this is the only one that's blue with a black nail, okay? A black tip. So American widgeon. All right. Difference between the male and the female, again, that nice white crown also has green extending behind the eye. Okay, the green post-ocular stripe. Okay, Dusky eye patch, yeah, you can sort of kind of see it. That's just referring to a little bit darker around the eye, but that's not very clear a lot of times when you see them in pictures. Do one more, then we'll take a break. The northern pintail, Anis acuta. Here's the other one, another one with a blue bill. Except notice that the black here is comes right down the center. It's not at the edge. But also, there are a lot of other things that make this look different from the American Wigeon. Yeah, I think it is. I think the mandibles have a little bit of black there too. Yep. You can sort of see the same thing here with the hen, except it's much more faded. Okay, you have black coming down the center and just a little bit of light blue on the sides. It's not as pronounced. Other characteristics are, of course, with both the hen and the drake, they have attenuated rectices, which are the tail feathers. Okay, so they come out, and hence their name, pintail. Between the drake and the hen, of course, you have this white breast patch, and you have a white finger that comes up into this nice bronze head. And of course, you don't have that. The other very characteristic thing I don't think I have on here, but I just really kind of recognized when I was looking at the hen here, is that they have very long necks. When you're actually out in the field, if you see a duck that has a very long neck, either swimming or flying, you can pick them up pretty easily just by the silhouette. Long neck. They almost look like a bowling ball flying. Okay. Again, we talked about the white chest here. This is the hens are the only species that have a bronze speculum. A bronze speculum. And after the break, I'll pass wings around of both the male and the female. Okay. Any questions? Good. All right. Well, we'll take a break. I'll see you guys at 1:30. Yeah, you can leave your stuff in here just like yesterday.